The Trump administration is now listing new tariffs on Chinese goods, nearly six times bigger than the previous salvo. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. It is Wednesday, and the trade war with China is set to get bigger. The Trump administration has published an additional list of $200 billion worth of Chinese goods that it wants to hit with a 10% tariff that could be imposed as early as September. Marketplace's Erica Barris is on the line via WESA in Pittsburgh. Erica, where does this put us?
So, David, what we've seen is an escalation of what kind of tariffs we're getting. Early on, back in March, we started by imposing tariffs on steel and aluminum. China slapped tariffs back on us, and we've imposed more on them. Initially, when we were talking about tariffs, we were talking about materials used in manufacturing. Then we were talking about machinery and electronics. Now these tariffs are things we buy directly, like soap, clothes, mattresses, dog leashes, salmon, tuna. It's a long list.
And in essence, what are the two sides saying today?
The U.S. says China's latest tariff retaliations were illegal because China didn't conduct any investigations. It just matched what we slapped on them. China this morning is calling the $200 billion list totally unacceptable and that they'll be forced to take countermeasures.
And what about businesses with money at stake?
So the National Manufacturers Association is against this. So are lots of other trade groups, saying it hurts American workers and makes U.S. companies less competitive. All the trade experts I've spoken with say once it gets too hard to trade with one country, then new contracts are drawn up, almost comparable to when you have a bad experience at one store. You just stop going there. You find another store. And then when the original store tries to tell you, you know, hey, things are better now, come on back, you end up not doing that because you have a new store. With escalating trade tensions and new lines being drawn, that's what could happen now and what U.S. exporters are worried about.
But this is a list. They're not active tariffs yet.
No. So these aren't going to take effect for at least 2 months. And then there are hearings before any of that happens for the products. And those are scheduled for late August.
All right, Erica, thank you very much. While the Chinese government has vowed to retaliate here, some U.S.-China deals are staying on track. Case in point, fancy electric car maker Tesla has announced it's building in Shanghai its first factory outside the United States. The move will make Tesla the first foreign automaker to own 100% of its operations in China. The new facility is supposed to eventually produce maybe 500,000 cars per year. But there are challenges even beyond the poisoned U.S.-China economic relationship, Marketplace's Aaron Schrank reports.
Tesla's been trying to set up in China for years, says Auto Trader's Michelle Krebs.
It's already the biggest electric vehicle market, and it's going to be even bigger in the future.
China aims to produce nothing but electric vehicles by 2030 to tackle air pollution. Tesla says it'll be 5 years before its factory is in full swing. Gartner analyst Mike Ramsey says even that's a tall order for a company known for production delays and cash flow problems.
A plant of the size that they're talking about will be very expensive.
Before now, Michael Dunn at investment advisory Zozogo says China only allowed automakers in if they did joint ventures with Chinese companies and required them to share intellectual property. The Tesla deal is different.
China's opened things up entirely with EVs, saying you can now enter and own 100% of your operation and no obligation to turn over your intellectual property.
Teslas are still hard to come by in the U.S., so who knows how long it will take before they're widely available in China. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers here. The 100-share index in London is down quite a lot, 1.2% at the moment. The DAX in Germany down 1.4%. U.S. stock index futures down. Dow future down 0.8%. The S&P future down 0.7%. This month, we reported that the drug giant Pfizer was raising the cost of more than 40 medicines, including Lipitor for cholesterol and Viagra for Viagrism, my coinage. Well, there's news that the Trump administration has gotten Pfizer to back down for now. After a conversation with the president and the Health and Human Services Secretary yesterday, Pfizer now says it'll put the drug prices back to pre-July levels. This until the administration puts in place a general plan to curb drug prices or before the end of this midterm election year. Ten years ago today, just months after the collapse of the investment house Bear Stearns, the California bank IndyMac failed, sending off a wave of panic. Today, as part of our series on the financial crisis 10 years on, a series we call Divided Decade, a look at the big and small ways the financial crisis changed us. We'll hear today from Laren Lee in Orange County, California.
Back in July 2008, we heard on the radio that our bank was being closed down. You know, it was our one savings bank, IndyMac Bank. We were like, what does that mean? So we drove to the bank branch and someone was there from the FDIC saying, there's no use waiting in line to go in because all funds have been frozen. You can't access your money. We didn't know what to do. We were just in shock. And then we went on the internet and looked up FDIC. Somehow I set up an appointment on Sunday afternoon. Our kids were young back then. They were like second grade and fifth grade. And we didn't have anywhere in the house to go to talk quietly. So we locked ourselves in the downstairs bathroom. And the whole time we were on the phone with the FDIC rep, our younger one in second grade kept saying, Mommy, Daddy, let me in. Why are you locking yourselves away from us? What happened after, my older one was in fifth grade and she ended up on her own. We didn't even know. She started self-studying what economics was. When she went to college, she applied as an econ major and she was called to interview for a full tuition trustee scholarship. And in the interview, I guess she told this story as to why she wanted to major in econ and what got her started with it. She has an internship coming up this summer with JPMorgan Chase in New York City. So the story was shocking and upsetting what happened to us, but in the long run, it inspired our daughter to study economics. I wouldn't discourage my daughter from working in the industry because I gauged that she would be ethical. I expect her to be something like a Janet Yellen. That's kind of one of her idols. And I would picture her making only ethical decisions and choices.
Marketplace APM on Instagram to see Laren Lee there, and where you can also let us know how the financial crisis changed you. Hashtag how we changed. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.